No, I asked a question did you know when the 4th of July would fall on Sunday again? And my brother Dick Shaw, he responded right away, and he told me, if you're interested, 2032 will be the next time that the 4th of July comes on Sunday. So, and he goes all the way back to 1756. So you discussed this with Dick. I don't know how he arrived at this, but that's it. I have a couple of requests that I would like to put before you. Yesterday, while I was visiting in the hospital, some of you know and have heard, of course, that our sister LaRue Sanders is in the hospital, and she will be undergoing catheterization in the morning. She has other problems. She's in good spirit and seems to be handling the whole matter very well. One of the sad things I have to report is that our brother Clyde Hargis, he's in the hospital. I could not find a nurse that could tell me anything about his condition. He is isolated. Had to wear a mask and that kind of thing to go in to see him. And it's distressing to see someone that is going through his experience. He is restrained. He cannot leave the bed. I would ask you to please remember him in your prayers, and we'll have prayer for them right now. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we think of others that are less fortunate than we are, we've already declared that for us the lines have fallen in pleasant places. We're so thankful for the opportunity of being here today and enjoying the things of God with God's people. We have mentioned LaRue Sanders, and we have mentioned our dear brother Clyde Hargis, and theirs is a difficult time. There is trial and testing ahead. We would ask, O God, be merciful and give help in this time of need. May the leading of the Spirit of God in everything that is done in caring for them be carried out. According to thy will and for your praise and glory, we ask this. Amen. I suppose all of us have a favorite passage of Scripture. Would someone like to just tell me what your favorite passage of Scripture is? Do you have a favorite passage? What is it? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And could you quote that? Amen. Not too much, because, brother, I'm preaching tonight. Romans chapter 8. Good. Yes. All right. Any others? Psalm 37. What about Psalm 23? So that's what I have for this evening. And I had a reason for that, and I got to thinking, you know, we all do have favorite passages of Scripture, and it means a lot to us. And you find yourself, perhaps Dwight, he likes to read that 8th chapter of Romans, and there's so much in the Word of God that can provide for you encouragement and help. So often when you find out you do need help and you want some comfort. So I'd like for us to turn to Psalm 23, and I have some things I'd like to share with you from it. Beginning at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think the reason that I probably settled on this passage, I'd had some thoughts this afternoon concerning how important it is for us, again, to measure up to God's expectations of each one of us. And we're assured of this, He never disappoints us. We may disappoint Him. As I pointed out, we may grieve the Spirit of God because of unconfessed sin in our lives. I personally do not believe that a child of God can quench the Spirit of God. I believe that those that are without Him, those that are controlled by the God of this world, can truly quench His ministry. And that's a very sad thing to think about. The one that would bring so much blessing into a person's life, and he's not allowed to come in and to minister to the soul's need, recognizing something that that person is completely blind to. How tragic that is. But when I think about a passage like Psalm 23, I've titled it, Wandering Sheep, Prone to Wander, Lord, I Know It. Have you ever felt that way? That it seems like sometimes when I least expect it, I discover that I'm wandering a little, just a little. I'm not as excited about being saved as I used to be. Oh, I missed my Bible reading today. I forgot. I can't think of a thing to pray about. All of these thoughts come popping into your mind, and you say, that just doesn't seem right. Because I'm thinking about this business of being a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the family of God. It's an ongoing thing. It's not something that we pick up and put down when we choose. I think it should be constant. And for it to be meaningful, I believe that it will be constant. There won't be a day go by in the life of a believer that is truly in touch with the Lord that he won't think about these things. He will consider prayer. He will consider reading the Word of God. I need to read. I need to have Him speak to me. I want to be spoken to. I want to hear His voice. It means so much to me. I'm fortified by special things that He shares with me from His Word. I need it. There again, we're prone to wander, aren't we? And it grieves us when we think about it. Well, I think we have the testimony of one who needed and found a shepherd. If you think about believers, and we are identified as sheep in the Word of God, sheep going out and looking for a shepherd. That doesn't make sense, does it? Sheep don't go out and look for a shepherd. The shepherd finds the sheep. And when you have a thought like that, and you begin to think about the fact that we are identified as sheep, and if you have any question in your mind about that, I thought about Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way, and God has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, we are like sheep. We have characteristics about us
that are sometimes so easily applied to sheep. Perhaps the sheep-like ways are easily applied to us. But we commence this whole wonderful little psalm, 6 verses. The Lord is my shepherd. It really makes a difference if you have a shepherd. Have you ever thought about it? How do I ever get along without a shepherd? Man, I needed a shepherd. I needed somebody to look after me. Because I have a testimony and a life that would prove that there was something wrong in my life. Out of control, it may be. People today, that their lives are so mixed up. You say, how in the world could you get yourself in a condition like this in such a short period of time? Young people! And they've already fouled everything up. Done some things that will stay with them as long as they live. They need a shepherd. They need a shepherd. That's what they need. And my Lord is a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. I remember that Gene Hollingsworth used to tell a story about a visit that a man was making over in the Holy Land, so-called. And he had always been told that the sheep follow the shepherd. On this occasion, he observed a shepherd driving the sheep. Right away, he asked the guide of that particular group, he said, what means this? I've always heard that the shepherd leads the sheep. This fellow here, this shepherd, he's driving the sheep. He said, man, he's no shepherd, he's a butcher. He's driving them to the place of slaughter. I'll tell you, our God doesn't do that with us as our good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And indeed, when I realize that I'm in about the safest place, I consider it the safest place for anybody to be, in Christ, to have the good shepherd and have him leading. I have confidence in him. He will never lead me astray. As long as I follow the good shepherd, I'll never wander into anything that would be dishonoring to the Lord. The good shepherd leads his sheep. The fact that he calls us by name, that's John chapter 10. He calls us by our name. He knows each one of us by name, knows all about us. Someone just recently in bringing, I think it was Mark Hartley, in telling us about the little intricate details that God records and keeps concerning us. The hairs upon our head. You know, at first mention of that, why beings should we be so specific about something like that? It just tells you that indeed there is nothing that involves us that God overlooks. I am kept in such a secure place. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I won't want for anything that I need. I may not get all that I want, but everything I need will be provided. I believe that. And indeed, we can trust him. Because again, sheep do need a shepherd. It will generate some thought in our own hearts. How deeply do I trust God? Do I have a deep abiding faith that says I will follow him all the way? Wherever he leads, I will follow. I trust him. I can trust him. I have trusted him. And he has never failed me. These sort of things spring out of a living faith and a living God who is able to care for our every need. He leads us. I shall not want. When we read in that second verse, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, you know, I came upon something this time that I don't think I'd ever thought of before. It wasn't original with me. I had read it, but it came to mind. And this man had had some experience as a shepherd. He said, you have no trouble making a sheep that has a full stomach lie down. But try to make one that is hungry and looking for food lie down. And you've got a job on your hands. Now, what is it to be derived from the fact that if a sheep has a full stomach, he will lie down? How does that apply to us? Well, he meets our every need. I'm confident that there's not one thing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He has the proper place for us to lie down. He has a place where we can feed, we can sustain ourselves and regain strength. Strength that is meet for the day or any experience in life. It's so wonderful that as you read through this and you examine it and you explore and you find out things, that everything is taken care of. There's nothing lacking. It's not like you say, well, you forgot this. You forgot this. Oh, no. Every provision is made. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You've heard so many stories, I suppose, about how sheep are easily frightened. You can spook them. And I suppose that water, if it happens to be a raging torrent, a waterfall, now they wouldn't be thinking too much about drinking. They'd be frightened by all of this. So the provision is made that he leadeth me beside still waters. It's quiet. It's quiet. I'm not frightened. I feel comfortable. I feel protected. I feel cared for. There's just a serene atmosphere here. When you think about the peace of God, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Oh, that word, peace. I heard a person cry out not long ago, would to God I had some peace in my life. At that time, I didn't know what the problem was. Later, I had to agree they could stand some peace, some quietness in their lives. Tormented by things that have come into their lives and the lives of those that they love, that would just, it would make you just shudder to think about it. Oh, would to God I had some peace in my soul. Well, this sounds like a good place to me to be quiet, comfortable, feel safe, lying there protected in the green pastures beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Now, a question can be raised here. He restoreth my soul. Does that mean that I've gotten away from the Lord and I need to be restored? I need to be brought back? Something has happened? It could. I wouldn't be so bold as say, not me. Not me. I never need to be restored. I'm just right in there solid all the time. Most of us wouldn't say that, would we? No, I have my ups and downs. I have experiences in life that I have to confess things are not as rosy as you think they are. There's something akin to that that I have discovered among men. Men do not like to go to the doctor. I'm one of them. You need to come in for a checkup. I don't need a checkup. Isn't there something wrong with you? Let me check your blood pressure. Let me take your blood sugar. I haven't got time. I'm too busy. Most men, especially if the doctor would call you and said, hey, I'd like for you to come in for a checkup right away. What's wrong? He might find something wrong with me. These are the kind of attitudes that sometimes we discover. Preventative medicine is a good thing, isn't it? Some have avoided some very serious things. Being willing to confess that, yes, I need to stay real close to the Lord so that if I get out of line, I'll know it. His word will be right there for me. He will have my ear. He will be able to speak to me and get my attention and let me know you need to be restored. You've gotten cold in your relationship with me. Do you realize how long it's been since we had some time together? No, I hadn't thought about it. Well, it's been a long time. Have you ever had one of your parents call you up and say, won't you please come by and visit with me sometime? Won't you call me up and talk to me? I miss you. You know, we would have to say, you sure are treating your parents in a shabby fashion. They deserve better than that. I'll tell you this, our God deserves a whole lot better than we give him sometime, too. All of the benefits that we derive from being children of God, in the family of God, all of these things poured out upon us, lavished upon us. So many things that sometimes we're not even consciously aware of that he's doing for us. And we don't even take time to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I think on Saturday morning here a lot of times we touch on these things when we're together and the brethren are talking about the things of God and praying. What's the first thing you say and think of when you get up in the morning? Do you say, thank you, Lord, for a night of rest? Thank you, Lord, for being able to be up for another day. Thank you that I can depend and rely upon you 100% to be with me throughout this whole day, through whatever the experiences might be. Thank you, Lord. How many of us get up that way, in that frame of mind, consciously aware that we need to maintain good, solid contact with the one who loved us and gave himself for us, our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where he leads me, I will follow. Thought about that hymn while my brother Scott was asking for those requests. I'm not my own. I was purchased with a price. He must lead me. I am his. Because that's the whole thought of this passage, I think. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's not as if God saved us and said, now, you just go out there and make it on your own. Now, you just go out there and be adventurous. You be one of those people that you like to do things your way. We relinquish a lot of that when we are brought into a relationship with God. You say, how do you know that? I think the watchword of the Christian life is not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's the way he felt about his whole experience of being here upon the face of the earth. It's not my will. It's his will that must be carried out. And so it is. So God has to direct us. A pathway of righteousness through this life. You say, how in the world could I ever discern every time I take a step that I'm taking a step on that pathway of righteousness? You don't believe that He can direct us? You don't believe that He can keep us on that pathway of righteousness? He can. He can. When we seek His leadership, when we seek the mind of God about any matter, I think it can be discovered. Oh, it delights to have us express that dependence upon Him and follow Him in the pathway of righteousness for His name's sake. Have you told anyone recently that you are a Christian? I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. If they know anything at all about Christianity, they know that there's a standard that you are supposed to live by. They know that you should be different by virtue of the very fact that you have trusted Jesus Christ. They know to some measure that claims have been made about believers in Jesus Christ. They are born again. They've had a spiritual birth. They have spiritual life. They belong to God. They claim that He is their Heavenly Father. They take His name. That's important. Oh, the world does have an opinion about you and me and how we live our lives and the fact that we loudly profess, yes, I am a Christian, I'm a believer. But some may challenge you sometime and say, well, you don't live like a Christian. At least what my concept of Christianity is that Christians are people that are Christ-like. I have never seen Christ in you. I've never seen you behave so that you could be identified without you saying anything that that man is a believer. He's a Christian. So this verse carries with it some weight and importance. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we walk every day. That's where we walk every day. The shadow of death. We haven't died yet. Physically, we're still here. I could tell you that based upon the Word of God that every believer is reckoned to have died when Christ died upon the cross because we have accepted the value of what He did. And God reckons us to have died with Him. That penalty for our sin has been paid for. And He did it perfectly. And I've said this so many times, I don't want to pay the penalty for my sin. You say, face the penalty of your sin like a man. I'm a coward when it comes to that. And you are a fool if you say you want to face God and give an account for your sin. You're a fool. The devil has deceived you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only one that could face God, stand in the presence of God as a sacrifice for sin, and meet and comply with every divine requirement for a sacrifice that could atone for our sin. Oh, no. I don't want to pay the price for my sin. The wages of sin is death. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I have spiritual life. I'm rejoicing in all that God has provided for me as a believer. The valley of the shadow of death. The fear of death. The fear of dying. How many times have you heard someone say, I'm not really afraid to die, but I don't like the thought of dying. You know what I'm talking about. I tell you, yesterday as I viewed Brother Claude Hargis and what he's experienced. This man is 94 years old. What I viewed was not pleasant. No one would desire that for himself. It's an unpleasant experience. That's dying. That process that sometimes a human being, someone with the infirmities of the flesh, and just little by little, life is taken away. Death? I don't particularly fear death. Dying is what bothers me. You've heard people say that. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. But there are two things that are introduced into this picture. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. One of them is for protection, the other one is for correction. Those two items carried by the shepherd. We can praise and thank our God that He is perfectly just and right in any action He takes in dealing with us. For protection, He protects us from so much harm every day of our lives. Oh, thank you, Lord, today for the things that you have helped me to avoid happening in my life. Do you believe that God has that kind of intimate control over your life and my life? In that He can know what is going to happen. He's omniscient. He knows all. There's danger ahead. And He will exercise my heart. He will bring about circumstances that I will veer away from that danger. That's how our God so carefully cares for us. But there is correction. If He loves you, is the words of Scripture, God chastens those that He loves. Parents that say, I would never discipline my children severely, the way some people do. I wouldn't dare use a switch or some other means of conveying the thought that I didn't like what you were doing. I'll tell you what, we should be very thankful that He hasn't put the rod to us more often. And that experience of going under the rod and being disciplined of God is always with a view to making us better, correcting us, so that we can amount to something as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to that passage that tells us about a prepared table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and that anointing of my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And I had a recall this afternoon when I was thinking about that. A young missionary couple, and they were away in a place in which there was nobody else there for fellowship, no believers. And they had not yet established any contact with any believers. And needless to say, they were a little discouraged, as you can understand. And early one Sunday morning, when they had decided that they would remember the Lord in the breaking of the bread and drinking of the cup, we'll do this in remembrance of Him. We will rely upon the Spirit of God to generate in our own hearts and souls so many thoughts concerning Him and what He did for us that it will just press out of our minds any thought of what we're experiencing in the way of hardship. We'll focus on something different. And even while they were there remembering the Lord, they heard an angry crowd gathering outside of their humble dwelling. And they were there to rebuke them. They were there to try to discourage them. But by their own admission and testimony, we never felt stronger in all of our lives as believers. We never felt more secure, because we believed that what we were doing was the will and the mind of God. A prepared table before us in the presence of our enemies. The enemies were around us. And she said, as we quietly bowed and we prayed and we said, Lord, Thy will be done. We don't know what's going to happen. Thy will be done. That crowd disappeared. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. that anointing of the head with oil. Very often, in many of the occasions, the putting in place one that was to be an authority, one that was to be a spiritual leader among God's people, very often there was the anointing of the head with oil. It was poured out. There was plenty of oil. There was oil and to spare. And here, my cup runneth over. I'm rejoicing to the point that it's just gone over and beyond anything I ever expected. This matter of belonging to the Lord and being cared for by Him is something that I can't explain. It's so wonderful that I just sit and praise and worship my God, and my cup is running over. You've heard that story of the old man that was asked the question, is your cup running over, brother? Yeah, and the saucer too. It's done spilled over into the saucer, and I am just so full. Have you ever had that experience of being so full? You are delighting in the Lord so much. You appreciate what He has done so much. You can hardly, you can't contain yourself. Then you feel tears running down your cheeks. And then you're rejoicing in your soul. It's so precious that it's hard to really share it with someone else. It has to be your own experience. And someone may tell you about it, and someone may share it with you, but you won't ever know what it is until you experience it. Your cup running over. Before the Lord, say, Lord, I want to have that experience. I want to have that experience of my cup running over. I've never had it. It's to be desired. It will do something for your soul. It's so deeply satisfying. It's a wonderful experience as a believer in our Lord Jesus Christ. You want a verse of Scripture for assurance? You can't find one any better than the sixth verse of Psalm 23. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Beloved brother and sister in Christ, have we been experiencing goodness and mercy from God? Oh, we have, haven't we? Oh, we have. And we're rejoicing about it. And I know what's going to happen. One day He's going to come and call me away. It may be today. The rapture! He may call me away, and I'll be with Him. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you know of anything that will top that? In your experience as a believer, kind of summing up something that would fortify you and keep you strong and keep you trusting God, and keep your faith strong and keep you happy in your soul and desiring to be a sanctified vessel fit for the Master's use. That's some of the things that can come out of a meditation and reading like that from Psalm 23. Our Father in heaven, thank Thee again for this Lord's Day, and thank Thee for the time we spent together. It's been an enjoyable experience for us. We've enjoyed reading the Scriptures and sharing these thoughts with God's people, and we pray that they have benefited from this. And we pray that they will go on their way rejoicing. For the praise and glory of the Lord Jesus, we ask this. Amen. And our brother has a verse of a hymn.